right. Good morning, guys. Sorry about that. I had a little trouble logging in. And hey, we got a different view. But hey, this morning, I've got some, you know, I was off for a week, and really, which is two, you know, because when you miss a week, that's one of the things I always tell people. When they miss one meeting, that means they miss 2 weeks. And so I know last week went well. I appreciate that from all the, you know, George and all the guys that did that. This morning, I'm going to begin what I think is going to be like a four, you know, it's going to lead all the way up to the new kickoff meeting that I'm going to announce today. I think you guys are going to be excited about, because it really is, this is what it's all about, what we're getting into. So I'm going to go ahead and get to the, hey, and by the way, I did play in the U.S. Senior Open yesterday, qualifying, you know, and I got to play, one of the guys I played golf with shot 68, and I did get schooled a little bit, and I've decided it'll be easier for me to make money doing Primerica than trying to make it as a professional golfer. But I did get to play golf with these guys, and you know, it's interesting watching this guy. The whole time I was like, daggum, this guy's good. I didn't realize that he, you know, was formerly on the PGA Tour, and he's cruised around, and he did hit one bad shot, shot 68. You know, I kind of stumbled along and shot 77, but it gives you a better idea. But hey, guys, I finished number 60 out of 130. So I was in the middle. It didn't play well, but anyhow, but it's when you're out there, you find out the guys, you know, this is the same daggum dude who were beating me when I was 20. Okay. That, you know, one of the guys that was in this thing was finished, you know, had 11 tour wins, and he's out here still out there qualifying, making it happen. So anyway, hey, we're going to get rolling. And so support, as always, Lucas, ideas, send them. We're always taking them. And Steve had a death in the family and is not on today, but he has got two things that are real close that he's going to roll out probably at the end of this week. We thought we would do it today, but since he's not around, we're going to be doing that. So, and then Kristen, always get in touch with Kristen. Kristen knows everybody, helping us get all of our great training together. Everything's on. It says March. Everything is the same in May. So just keep that rolling. And what I would do too is talk about, you know, going to Blitz. One of the things that we have every Monday night, we have somebody new doing the introduction to money and join the team. And, you know, what I would do on that is promote, you know, have a little Blitz and promote, you know, what's going on. And then you'll start seeing some recruiting going. I got my little base shop meeting, and I've got six people now on my base shop, and all of them went through the system. It wasn't like I was out there doing appointments and stuff like that. So anyway, of course, Nashville, we're finishing up we want to get all of our numbers. We got a bunch of you. If you haven't sent in your registration, we sent you an email. We need you to do this. You're not committing to money. What you're doing is giving us an idea. So when we go to the hotels, you know, that we have some idea, are we going to have, you know, 500 people, we're going to have 200 people, we're going to have 1,000 people, all that. We sent that out. Make sure to pass that along to anyone. It's open to people outside of Sales Team Pro, but it's going to be a music marketing and money conference. Nashville opened up completely last weekend, and there's no mask and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, it's like wide open here, and the whole city is just booming. So anyway, I thought what I would do today is talk about what we're going to do with the, and let me see something. I don't know why I'm behind here. Let's do this. Let me do this first off. Let's go through the kickoff. And so here's what I got for the kickoff. And I think this is a good topic that most of you would agree. Everybody needs to know how to go from part-time to full-time to big time, and doing it in today's world. And I was having this conversation the last couple of days. So we went down to Atlanta to do this golf thing. And so my son, Harrison, you know, is licensed, and he's wanting to get the business going and stuff like that. And so, of course, he's in the car with me, caddied for me. Then we drove back home and the whole deal. And we were talking about a plan. He's 23 years old to get his business off the ground. And what would you do? And how would you go about doing it? And I remember back in the days, in 1986, that was my breakthrough year. I made $33,000 as a regional leader full time, and I went full time in January, right before January, like in November, and had a plan. And I went out and made $33,000 that time, would be like 80 or 90, And, but I had a plan that every day, what I did, I woke up, I did things. And so we talked about that and we talked about it going down and going back. And I thought, you know, this is the kind of stuff that people, you know, would like to hear, you know, what would you do? And I mean, if I talked to Arlie or I talked to Ed Randall, talk to any of those guys that went out and built big businesses, they started from, you know, they had a plan to go, you know, where they could bring people through and either, and do the same thing for themselves. And I started out, you know, as a part-timer. All right. I was part-time just like everybody else. And then I went full-time and then I went as a full-timer, I went and built my life. And, so anyway, we're going to be doing that. I'm going to be calling on, getting Kristen to get in touch with you guys that have gone and gone from part-time to full-time to big time. All right. And we're going to be doing that. So that's coming up. Now with that, now I'm going to get into the next slide that's out of order. But the reason we're going to do, and today, is kind of the beginning of what I would look at on this thing. It says, first off, you do things no one else will do so you can do things no one else can do, right? So these are the five things that I kind of live on. I do things no one else will do so I can do things no one else can do, all right? Think about that. You know, I roll around, I do, you know, I do things no one else does. I mean, you can pretty well ask me anything. You say, well, have you ever done that? I'm usually, yeah, I did that. Okay. So I've been able to do things that, you know, I've driven, you know, the cars and the homes and the travel, and I go do things. And I mean, and the funny thing about it is I just run free. That's what I do. I run free all the time. And anybody that went and did it, okay, and got to the point where they run free. What I mean by run free, you just, you know, my Amex comes in and it's automatically drafted out of my checking account once a month. All right. My country club bill is automatically drafted out of my deal. I travel, I go places, I do things. Okay. So how did I do that? Well, the first thing is I didn't depend on anyone. You know, you don't depend on anyone but yourself. That's the first step. So we have this mindset, and this is kind of the mindset I want to talk into on this whole thing with moving forward on this kickoff. Then you outwork and outsmart everyone. All right. Hey, I always outsmart people. I do that. The reason I outsmart them is because I'm smarter than they are. You know why I'm smarter than they are? I'm smarter because I read more and I work on getting better because I want less drag in my life and more money. All right. So what I want to do is I want to be thinking all the time about how can I do it easier? How can I get more free time? You know, I'm working with Bree right now. We're working on a whole plan. Okay. But here's the foundation of the plan. I'm going to work 20 hours only doing things that I can only do. All right. I'm working 20 hours a week doing only the things that I can only do. I'm not going to do nothing else that someone else can do. I'm going to only do the things 20 hours a week of only the things that I can do. And so I'm going to have 20 productive hours a week. All right. 20 productive hours. And if you work 20 productive hours, hey guys, you give me a productive hour, I might make $5,000 in an hour. I mean, I can easily do that. All right. So if I can make $5,000 an hour and work 20 hours, well, gosh, I mean, that's $500,000 a week. If I make $1,000 an hour, I mean, that's $20,000 a week. All right. Then, so you outwork and outsmart everyone, you save your money, and then you won and you deserve life. That's the thing you got to realize. You deserve to live like no one else lives because you did things that no one else did. Okay. So we go from part-time to full-time to big time. So how do we go about doing that? So this is kind of the theme. I'm going to get everybody thinking this way, and also be thinking in terms of processes on how to go about doing it. So what was the mindset? What would be a five-year mindset? Now this same mindset, be it, so you guys understand, I have a five-year mindset. I'm 60 years old. I'm going to work for 5 more years, and I may work more than that, but I'm going to work productively, and I really want to work, you know, 20 hours a week on productive things and have the rest of the time, because I can roll 20 hours a week until I'm in the grave, right? I mean, it's not hard. I mean, I like working. I don't want to be doing stuff I don't like doing. I don't want to do crap work that doesn't count. All right. But you give me 20 hours a week of doing things that I like doing, okay, that are productive, that only I can do. And I have a staff to help me, you know, do that. Well, golly, I mean, why wouldn't you do that? Right. So the five-year mindset is you want to do, always be thinking, I'm going to do things no one else will do. So one day I can do things no one else can do. Right. Does that make sense? I want to do that always. All right. You want to always depend once again on yourself. you outwork, outsmart everybody. So this is the 5-year mindset. You get it in your head. This is what I'm doing daily. I'm going to save my money and I'm going to win and I'm going to deserve it. I'm going to do it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to be thinking that way. Then I get buy-in from those people that matter. So for instance, if you are married, chances are you need to get the buy-in. Okay. Because otherwise you're going to say, that you're going to have people, why are you gone all the time? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Right? Well, honey, this is why I'm doing this. Well, why? Well, tell them why. Get them to buy in. Oh, okay. So this is why we're doing that. Yeah, this is why. Get people to buy in. Okay. You get people to buy in on your team. Everything, get people buying in. Okay. To what's going on. The next thing is recognize that you have to not only work hard, but you got to work smarter. So when you're doing this, you need to have a plan in place to always be smarter than the next one. You got to be very, and smart right now is a lot to do with being tech savvy. All right. Because you know, when I push a button and I've got 4,000 names going out there or 10,000 names, and you're out there trying to dial 10,000 people. I mean, we don't compete. You're taking, you know, like a knife to a gunfight. You're going to get killed. That's how that thing works. Working smart involves investing your time wisely and value and leveraging resources. So let's think about this. You're going to leverage. We're going to work smart. We're going to have our time, you know, geared in, and we're going to leverage valuable resources. Now, what are your resources that are most important? They're your people, your money, and your technology. So now we're going down the path. We're saying, I'm going to leverage myself. I'm going to have people that are highly trained A players. I'm not going to have any weak links in my system. If I've got somebody that's not an A player, that's on the team, they're either going to be an A player or they're going to be exit. Okay. Exit door. I'm not going to have people on my team that I can't depend on. I'm not going to have people that if I delegate something, wonder if it gets done. Okay. I'm not going to do that. So I want to make sure that my resources, okay, are A players. I want to make sure that my money is well spent. If I spend it on advertising or marketing or people, I want to make sure that I'm getting the most out of my resources, and I'm going to spend money on my technology and I'm going to make it happen. So then what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend my money on technology and people. All right. Those are my resources. Okay. All right. So my money is going to go into people and technology. I'm going to make things easier for my people to do business and transact the things I need done. And then I'm going to incentivize the right things in the people. And that's no different in your Primerica business. You know, if you're out there thinking about what do? You want to make it easier for your people to make money, and you want to reinvest money into your people. You know, I've always done things like that. I've always spent money. I've always done things to promote what I'm doing. Okay. And then you need to have a clear goal of 10,000 names. Now, when I give you this, and this is just kind of the prelude, guys, 10,000 names is made up of, get this, 10 a day. All right. Think through this, 10 a day. All right. 25 for 50. If you do 5 days a week, 10 a day, that's 50 a week. Do that 50 weeks. That's 2,500, right? And in 4 years, you've got 10,000 names. So think through this. So if you do 10 a day, I'm working with Harrison about, I guess, about 10 a day, 6 days a week. Think about that. So you got Monday through Thursday, 10 a day. And then Saturday, you can do twice a day. Now, as you move on, okay, and start doing well, you're going to take that 10 a day. It might be that 10 a day comes from the referral that you do business with right then. You know, I remember targeting my markets. And, you know, when you're young, you target a certain market. When you're older, you start target another market. We're talking about that. But I used to ask people that, you know, so do you have any kids that play the Little League baseball? And they would say, oh yeah, my son's into it. Oh, okay. Well, who do you know the parents, some of the parents there? Yeah. All right. So then I turn around. I said, well, who's on first? Who's on second? Who's on third? Who's on short? Who's the pitcher? Who's the catcher? Who's the coach? Who plays in the outfield? Okay. And there was my way of getting, hey, I got right there 10 names. I could get 10 names just by asking the right question. Oh, yeah. And then the next thing you know, who else do you know that coaches? Because what happens, people sit up in the you know, seats up there talking to the watch your kids play baseball. I used to ask things like that. So you think about once you get this mindset of getting a database, ultimately you're going to be able to get referrals and move that database even quicker, but you need to have a goal of getting 10,000 names. Your database will be the most valuable asset you have. So get 10,000 names fast. Let me give you an example. I got 10,000 names in my database. All right. I can't even keep, I tell Bree and I, just to give an example right now, we are going through our appointments. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to target my appointments to where I'm spending time with more valuable appointments. And then she's booking other appointments for other people in my database to work it, because I don't want to work them unless they're the most valuable appointments. All right. And I said this last month, I generated $130,000 in personal commissions, 36 transactions, working 2 days a week. So what I want to do is make my database get more and more valuable. And what you're going to see next week that Steve has put together, Josh Mock gave us a great idea. We're doing it. Okay. And he's almost done with it. And we're going to have a system to help you clearly define that target. Okay. So now let's talk about this. Okay. I say this because sometimes people don't realize that $100,000 a month spends the same number, no matter how you make it. I mean, if I give you $100,000 and if $100,000 goes in your checking account this month, it spends the same regardless of how it got there. Okay. Within the Primerica world. All right. And there's a lot of ways you can get it there. Okay. So you could earn it by personally producing, right? And sell term insurance. Yeah, I was looking, the number one personal producer year to date, Tony Narain's done $294,000 in premium himself. Okay. So I look at that, I say $294,000. And it's interesting, he's only done I think he's done like 140 sales. And I'm like, wow, he's got a couple of, so what he's doing, obviously he's going back, he's doing add-ons, he's doing all this kind of stuff. Because I just look at the math, but if you had a 294,000, and if he's doing a lot of add-ons, that's to existing customers who are happy. So you take 294,000 times 130%. What is that? That's $100,000 a month, probably just on his personal production. And by the way, guys, he's been doing that forever. Okay. I mean, when I say forever, 20 years, okay? And he's a $1 million earner. You can personally produce and sell term insurance. You could sell investments. You can do mortgage. I honestly believe somebody, George was telling me about some of the things that's going on in the mortgage business. I think the mortgage license is worth, you know, you can get to be making $100,000 a month as a result of the mortgage license and everything that goes along with it. Obviously, investments, you can do that. So that's one direction you can go. So you don't have to do 10 by 10, guys. Okay. It's okay. You don't have to do 10 by 10. You're not a loser if you don't do 10 by 10. Okay. It's okay. But if you want to do 10 by 10 and that's your direction, then guess what you do? You go 10 by 10. Okay. You can go build a big life insurance based shop, work the young market and recruit and train new people on term insurance and earn $100,000 a month. We got people doing that. It's okay if you do it that way. It doesn't mean you're better than somebody that does it the other way, because you know what? $100,000 spends the same. I don't really care how I make the money. I like to do it one way. What I used to like to do is not what I like to do today. Okay. Just like, you know, when you're young, you do one thing. When you're older, you do another thing. When you're in the middle, you do another thing. And so the point being is you could do it that way. Third way, you could build a big securities-based shop and work the 50-year-old market and build AUM and earn $100,000 a month. Well, how would you do that? Well, I mean, I would want to plan. If I'm going to go build the life insurance-based shop and term and, you know, 4 and 5 pointers, I would go target young people. Okay. If I'm going to sell investments and build a securities-based shop, I would rather recruit somebody that's 45, 50 years old that probably has more of a chance to make it in that market. So I'm going to target that and I can go do it. All right. You can do a combination of all things by recruiting people in each of these markets. Guys, I got people that are out there selling insurance and investments, and I got people that are recruiting. I got people doing all that. I'm overriding all of them. Okay. So I can go in and do it all these different ways. And then you can invest your money and do it. How about that? All right. So now I'm going to keep showing you. So you determine your business model. This is what I want to be talking about this whole month. And I hope it makes sense. And then the guys that'll be on the kickoff, you know, let's work on giving people direction on exactly how to do it. So what you want to do, and what I always do, is I start by saying, okay, what do I want my life to look like? I had a friend of mine call me, and I meet him in the morning, and he's like, in the brokerage business, not with us. And he's like, man, he said, can you help me? I grew up, went to high school with him. Eventually I'll end up bringing him over. But he's one of these guys that he's like, can you help me? Okay. He said, you got this thing going. Can you help me? And I said, sure, I'll go meet him. I'm going to meet him for coffee in the morning. But the first thing I told him, I said, dude, what do you want your life to look like? Okay. I mean, and one of the things he's done is dealt high net worth clients. And I'm like, the last thing I want to do is be dealing with high net worth clients who act like I'm their daggum boy. Okay. You know, I'm not going to do that. I want to do something to where people are appreciative of what I'm doing. And I don't want to deal with constantly somebody trying to take my business. Okay. Or I'm always having to fight it and fees and all that kind of stuff. Okay. So I was telling him that. I said, you got to decide what you want your life to look like. Okay. That's the first thing. The next thing is you need to take a look and say, okay, this is what I want to look like. What's the marketplace I want to be in? You go back to those things and say, how do I want to do it? All right. What do I want to do? I don't want my business to look like, you know, and then what you do is you determine what market fits you and your goals best. Let me give you an example. All right. When I was young and had little kids, and I ran around with people that had little kids. All right. I worked in the nursery at the church. Okay. You know, I went to the childbirth class and talked them into letting me present, you know, how to protect their family and set up college plans. I can go through and do all that. Well, guess what? I don't want to do that anymore. Okay. That's not really what I want to do. I don't want to go out at night until 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. I remember building my business. I'd go field train people and we would get done and we'd get mostly, you know, there'd be a lot of cleanup of the paperwork and we'd show up to Waffle House at like 11 o'clock, 11 PM. And I said, okay, dude, here's what we got to do. We got to get this paperwork finished. Here it is. Get busy on it. I'm going to eat a waffle. All right. And next thing you know, this guy's my new recruit and I'm making him fill all the paperwork out, make sure it's done. That way he could learn what's going on. Then I go rolling in at 1 o'clock in the morning. Never forget one time on a Friday night, this will blow your mind. My office building, you know, my wife was never thinking that I would be home. If I came home before 10 o'clock at night, yeah, I mean, there's something wrong. If I came home between 10 and midnight, that was normal. Well, on a Friday night, I go to my office. Okay. And I get stuck in the elevator. This is pre-freaking cell phones, all this stuff. The elevator, I get on the elevator and it's stuck. It was like 8 o'clock at night. Guys, I was on the elevator 3 hours. No one thought anything about it. And then one day I hear somebody like the cleaning people and I'm beating on the door and the guy opened it. To this day, I don't like caves. I don't like submarines. I went to the top of the Statue of Liberty. I didn't like that. Okay. Because I mean, I stuck in an elevator, but it was normal for me to work to 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. I don't want to do that anymore. Okay. So therefore I got to find the market that fits me. Okay. Best. All right. So then what I'm going to do is I'm going to implement my GPS after that. And then, okay, I'm going to do it. Now I want to show you something. All right. Then we're going to I'm going to close on this. We've got a lot of people on the call on. I hope this has been good. And we'll talk about how we implement a lot of this stuff. I got a whole list of speakers, but anyway, I wanted to show you this because the last couple of weeks, you know, my daughter graduated. I got to show you that. And then it's the second one that graduated. But then I wanted to show you these two accounts. It's this portfolio value history. If you look over here, it says initial investment 7/6 of 2015, beginning purchase of $1,674,000, an additional $278,000 went in, and one other little deal. But at that time, that was my dad when he passed away, and when we settled his estate, we put $2 million in his name in order to for estate tax purposes. All right. Since that time, we put $1,076,000 in, $278,000 more, pulled out $168,000. The gain and decline since he died, okay, is up $1,690,000. This is his account. Year to date, okay, his gains after pulling $22,000 out, my mother, okay, is up $243,000. So say $243,000 and $22,000. That's $265,000 in the first as of right now. Over on the other hand, we put money in my mother's account. We put 30 in 30 to start. We added 738. We withdrew 144. She's up 280,000. There's five of us. If you look over year to date, there's 75,000 withdrawals and it's up 60. So now let me give an example. So if you take 75 and 60, that's 135. You take 135 and 22 on the other side, that's 155. And then you take the 243, that's 400,000. And my dad is dead. My mother's 98. She has not worked in 38 years. Think about that. This is why we do things that we do, right? It makes sense. Why do we do things like this? We go do things so we can change things. So my parents never owned a mutual fund until I got in the business. How about that? And I tell the same story about my sisters, my kids, and stuff like that. So now watch this. So my daughter, age 14, okay, she's now age 29. Okay, she graduated from college, and this was the account value in 2006 in her college fund. Look where it was: Growth Fund of America, Capital Income Builder, New Economy Fund, Small Cap World Fund. Showed it. There was $100,000 in 2006. Well, she's now 29. Okay. She graduated with no debt, went to a school up in New York, just got her master's degree. All right. And that's why we do it. You set money aside. I remember setting this money aside for her when she was born. You do things, right, that no one will do so you can live like no one lives. All right. So check this out. Okay. Oh, and we had Euro-Pacific in there. I don't know why that built like that. This is my daughter, Claudia. Okay. $34,000 in her account when she was nine. Okay. $34,000 as of 2006. And look, isn't that why we do it? Guys, this is why we work and do things. This was last weekend. My one daughter on the left and the other one on the right that just graduated. Isn't this why we do it? Now I got my boys. Okay. They're working. Okay. With me, you know, they're going down the dad path. Okay. I took a picture. I told him, I said, here's my two college graduates right here. And then I got my other two that are like me. Okay. I said, come join the ones that didn't. I said, and the good news about not graduating is you're not going to get a job. And then I'm like, and people are like, well, why is that beneficial? Well, that's beneficial because what? You're going to have to go do something on your own. And that's what I did. All right. So if you didn't graduate, you know what? You probably want your kids to. If they didn't, you can go down the entrepreneurial path. But the one thing you better do is you better have a plan. So with that being said, I hope it's more as a little, you know, I don't do a lot of this kind of stuff, but this is kind of, I had this idea that what I wanted to do was create something, you know, for my son to make sure that he's on track. And so I thought we would do something like that. I wanted to call, we got a whole group of people, that we are going to call on this morning. Let me get my list out. Let's see. Hey, Paulo, where are you at? Paulo, are you here? Where are
you? Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Hey, buddy, talk to us. Give us some ideas. Take something from this morning and also what you're doing to make things happen.
First of all, I want to say thank you for Sales Team Pro. I mean, it's changed my business. I came onto it back in March, and I thought I had a great follow-up system and stuff like that, but now I wake up in the morning and I know exactly what I got to do. So on my block schedule, when I start the mornings off, I open it up. I say, okay, today I got to follow up with X number of people, from existing clients to prospects, even reps. I called into your back office and said, because I'm following up once a week with all my reps for a 20-minute call, because I was brought up to my attention. Are you spending time with your at least 20 minutes a week with your key leaders? And I talked to your people about putting it in a weekly follow-up automatically, so you could put in for your key leaders that automatically you got a 20-minute slot that you could touch bases just to find out where your team is. So I've been doing that. So I wake up in the morning, I know exactly what I'm doing, because a lot of times you wake up in the morning, you're going, okay, where do I start? So then I spend the next 3 hours of my day putting in more names. And that's the thing I really feel about your system is you got to continuously add names to it, so you know who you're calling. And it's grown my business. It's grown my recruiting.
So how big is your database now?
My database right now is just shy of 1,000.
Okay. So 1,000 people. What do you think it'll be like when you have 10,000?
Oh, unbelievable. I'm looking at my income. If I had this 4 or 5 years ago, my income would today be easily over $500,000, and I'm at 200 grand.
I'm telling you guys, let me give you one example. We've worked trade shows for 100 years, and we did the mall one Christmas and got 40,000 names at the mall. Okay. 40,000. All right. 40,000 names at the mall. Cost us 12 grand to rent it. This is a long, long time ago. Worked 6 weeks, mall hours, had all these full timers. Got 40,000 names at Christmas. Okay. When everybody else is like, all right, I can't get any. We went out December, January, February, when everybody was recovering, we were just freaking killing it. What do you think that database would be worth today? Think about that.
Easy over almost
millions. That was one thing. Okay. That we did. So guys, think about your database on there. Hey, I've got some other people. Paul, thanks for doing that and all you're doing for us. Let's see who else we got. Hey, is Seth Kelly. Where's Seth at? Are you, did you get in on the panelist?
Let me make Seth a panelist. Hang on.
All right. We'll put Seth on after that. Seth's a great story. Clarissa, where are you? There you are, Clarissa. Talk to us. What's going on?
Hey guys, so I have not been the first person to jump on Sales Team Pro, but now I'm understanding the value of it. Really, I've been pushing social media, and I got to tell you, the two work hand in hand, because here's what's happened. You connect with people on social media, but you're not in their pocket. You're not in their inbox like you are with Sales Team Pro. So you build a relationship on social media, and then you connect with them in a way that is personal by getting in their inbox, by emailing them directly through Sales Team Pro. And I honestly think the two work together really to create a tight bond that's going to keep you a client for a long, long time. Because with Sales Team Pro, you're not seeing the face in the video like you do on social media. But with social media, like I said, you're not the in-person connecting through them, the email.
What have you done on social media, and how have you connected social media to getting the email addresses?
So I run a Facebook group that enables me to have one-on-one connection with people through marketing that way. I do lives every week. I do webinars and things like that through the social media thing. The problem is you can't retain information as easy. So what I'll do is a free giveaway, you know, just like everyone else. Hey, if you want the worksheets to go with this webinar, if you want the whatever to go with this thing, send me your email and I'll drop it to you as a PDF. Then I can transfer that information over to Sales Team Pro.
So now let me ask you this. Have you you can copy the link and give them the link. Did you know that?
I can, but sometimes people are very quick to just simply put their email in a comment.
Oh, I got you. I got you. There you go. That's good. And let me say this, Clarissa, what you're going to find, guys, if you go in Direct Marketing Association, DMA, and do direct marketing ROI for different advertising mediums, okay, what you're going to find out is that email marketing is generally about $40 per dollar spent is your return. The rest of them are going to run about $8 to $10. Social media marketing is going to be one of your second best return on investments. But what email does, and the reason it works so well is that email gets in their face, where social media, they may see it, they may not see it. All right. And it's going to sit in their data, in their email box. And then there's been studies done that if they don't open the email, that they spend about 150% more money with you than someone that doesn't receive an email. All right. Because what's happening is they're getting it. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Like if you think about it, if you ever had your carpets cleaned, okay, that business, I could go into that business right there and make millions of dollars in the carpet cleaning business. Because you know what? Not one time has anyone ever followed up with me one time ever on getting my carpets cleaned. And you know what I do when I need to get my carpets cleaned next? I'd Google it. Okay. And if somebody had just been sending me an email, I'd say, who's that carpet cleaning place I did last time? I'd go in and I'd search it. And the next thing I know, I'd do business with it. And that's how you want to be when it comes to, that's why email is so valuable. But anyway, thank you for all your help and all the stuff going on. Where are you located?
I am in Culpeper, Virginia at a Dean Francis Bake Shop. Oh,
gotcha. Gotcha. All right. You do the call that he's been bragging about. So,
yeah.
Okay. Let me see what else we got here. Seth Kelly, are you up? Do we get Seth on, Kristen?
I tried to promote him, but I don't see him. I don't know.
All right. Give him another second. Not sure what happened. Got kicked out. Okay. He's going to be, Seth's one of my guys, but Seth, we'll talk in a minute wherever you're going to know. Seth's income year to date, okay. Seth is last year he made $90,000. This year he's over $100,000 year to date. How about that? And it's not been one lick. It's been $20,000 a month, every month, you know, that kind of deal. And I wanted to just have him talk a minute. It's one of my first generation RVPs. Let's keep going here. How about Wendy? Hey, Wendy.
Hey there. When Kristen texted me, I said, this is my lucky week. My last three holes, 7, 8, 9, I parred them.
There you
so
go.
This is my lucky week. But I only did 18 this weekend. So anyway, yeah. So what are some ideas? I've just been kind of back into group networking. So, let me think about like Norm, you know, he's got this group that he kind of kept going. It was a, you know, Zoom meeting. And so we had this group going, and now I was just reached out to by our Mount Vernon Chamber, which is a very proactive chamber. So they invited me to do Chamber Connections. So in that Chamber Connections, I've been able to reach out to another 20 people. So that was only 2 days worth, right? But that was 20 connections. So from there, I've got some appointments. They actually asked me if we wanted to do a ribbon cutting for our new office. So we're going to promote that. There's a gentleman that I used to be in a networking group from. He's with one of the radio stations locally. So he's going to help me promote that for free. And so anyway, I'm going back to what I had fun with and learning all these new things like this Clubhouse thing or this whatever. I'm thinking Clubhouse, you know, whatever Josh does, like Clubhouse is where you go to, you know, hang out. But Clubhouse has been, it seems like a fun app. But when you started the meeting, you said you made $130,000 last month and you have 10,000 people in your database. I made $13,000 last month, but I only have 1,000. So, you know, pretty good correlation. So, you know, great advice. I love the Sales Team Pro. I look forward to this every Tuesday. But
well, one of the things, Wendy, you're doing, and guys, another, I'm going to just revert back, you know, your follow-up system, in which we use to automate, and we always mm-hmm. do that. I mean, the automation is the key, and what we're adding next week, you're going to see Josh came up with an idea that, you know, it's his idea about finding out more information about our customers, meaning like what are their hobbies and all these kind of things. You're gonna be able to push a button. It'll go right into Sales Team Pro. And then Josh can tell about where he sent out a gift certificate, you know. But the point being is we're doing it. But the key element is that you want to develop trust and credibility. That is why this thing, that's the bottom line, is trust and credibility. And if you have credibility, and the way you do it is you got to do things to cause it. Okay. You know, it's like with me, if somebody Googles me, they immediately, they're like, oh, wow. Okay. This guy's all over the place. Or I got a podcast, or I do a radio show, or I do the email. We follow up. We have phone calls. We're doing all these different things. Okay. Have dinners. And what happens is I'm a trusted resource for the people. That's what you want to be. And when you become the trusted resource, you start getting these referrals that are gimmies. Okay. Give me referrals, the type that are, that they come in and they just do whatever you say. And there's none of that. And that's the ultimate. And then ultimately your database, you get it big enough, you can't keep up with it. There's a thing in the brokerage business called the Nova. They call it a supernova. And the supernova is you top grade your list every year. And what you do by top grading, you take the bottom 20% of your list based on lifetime value of the customer and stuff like that. And then what you do is you take that and you divide those customers with your newer up and coming people to give them something to work. Okay. So you're top grading the whole time. So right now I'm in the middle of top grading. Let me give you an example on that. So I've told you this, that one of the things you guys need to always do is download your AUM report. Okay. So, and when you download your AUM report and you download it, I don't mean look at it while it's online. I mean, download it. And here's why: you save it to a PDF. And I'm going to give you an example of what we did. So, back in the days, we did a lot of Invesco franchise fund. Okay. In the early days, Invesco franchise fund. Now we all know that Invesco franchise fund is pretty aggressive. We also know that Invesco franchise fund, the rates of return on the fund are not reflective necessarily of what you're getting. And the reason, guys, is because they've had different managers throughout that time. Everybody with me so far? So I don't trust having Invesco franchise fund as the only holding somebody has. Would y'all agree with that? Mm-hmm. All right. Yet when I've got this this assets under management report, my AUM report is 985 pages. My personal business has 985 pages. It's got $100 million. We've got all these little accounts in there. And why do I have 985 pages? Because I sold them all, but I have all these roll-ups. Okay. I've always said, you know, don't worry about people quitting. You make all your money on the ones that quit, not the ones that stay. Okay. The ones that stay, you make some money, but the ones that quit, all their stuff rolls up. Okay. And you got all these accounts. So what I did is I told Bree, I said, we got two things I want to look for to begin with. Go into the PDF and under the search, type in FRANCH for franchise. Okay. So we typed in FRANC franchise. And when we did that, it said I had 788 accounts in Invesco franchise fund. Okay. I then took that and I said, I want you to go through, and if they are over allocated, okay, or they're old, okay, and they've got a lot of money in that, I want to contact them because two things I know. Number one, they probably have more money. All right. Some of these people, I don't even know who they are, most of them. And number two, I don't want them to have all their money. And guess what? I found in my database, okay, I found people that had $500,000 in one fund. How about that? In one fund.
All right. Well, that's a good problem. All right. That's a good challenge,
so,
right?
So now, what we're doing is we're going back in there. The other thing is I typed in money market. Okay. And I said, anybody that's got money sitting in there, that's more than an emergency fund, I want to contact them. So that is our target market right now, what we're doing. So I'm giving you an idea. So when I start thinking about, okay, what I want to do, see, what I want to do is I want to get all their money. And I also want to make sure that they're not sitting there $500,000 and we have a market drop. And the next thing you know, and also 60% of the assets, okay, that are inherited assets go with the financial advisor of the children that are receiving it. Okay. So I don't want my assets to leave me and go there. Does that make sense? So anyway, so let's see, but I wanted to bring that up. Hey, Dave Deal, what's up, buddy? Where's Dave at? Give us something good.
I'm here. Yeah. Two things. First of all, and this might be not news to a lot of you, but we're really working hard on, you know, half of my clients, which we have 4,300 clients, half of them are, you know, from when there weren't any emails. So, you know, now just identifying all of them and reaching out, and we're using something called Truth Finder. I'm sure Yep. you're aware of it. If you're not, utilize it. It'll help you. All you do is put their name in, last known address, and it'll track them down and give you a potential phone number and email. So if that's not news to you, use it. And then the other thing some of our folks are doing is with the, especially ones with a lot of clients, is they're paying somebody to help enter them. Like if it's not already on an existing list that Lucas can upload, you know, don't spend $10 an hour work yourself, you know, hire somebody for a couple hours to enter business cards, to enter lists perhaps that you got. We had a lady go from 0 to 400 names in 3 hours because of that. She hired somebody to help enter the names. And as Roy said, just be diligent about your database because it's everything. You know, as we roll out, you know, we just are rolling out mortgages now. That's a goldmine to your business if you're able to contact everybody. And then I'll give a heads up for Sunday night. We're going to be hosting one on follow-up. It's the only time FU is a good thing. And we're going to talk about that. And really, you know, follow-up never changes. You know, I know Norm talked about that several weeks ago, but follow-up is always key to your business. And so we're going to give you some of the fundamentals across the board. And Sonia Ashley is going to help us do that as well. So that was my two cents.
Hey, great. Hey, and Dave, let me throw you another secret out here. And this, guys, just because I hand you a gun, it doesn't mean you got to shoot yourself in the foot. Okay. All right. But, you know, sometimes, you know, that's my compliance for the day. Right. So, but let me tell you what I did back in the days, Dave. First thing I did is I paid a company to get my database cleaned up. And I did this back back in 2004, all right, 2003. And the reason I did that was I knew that my, you know, going forward, I've said this, I had 40,000 customers. I just needed 40,000 referrals to get another 40,000 customers, right? Why do I need to go out there and spend all this money when I got 40,000 people to start with? All right. So that was my starting point. And then what I did was we got that. And then I used a thing called CallFire. Okay. And what CallFire is a system, and we're not going to call it the dirty word. Okay. We're not going to call it an auto dialer. Okay. We're going to call it a system to do client recontact quickly. How about that? And so what we did was we took CallFire, I would record the message and it would call the people, and we would upload 500 names a month. And I would call and I would say, hey, this is Roy Mountain Lockhart. It's very important you call us regarding your account. If you can speak right now, press 1 and you'll be connected to our office. If not, you can reach us at 615-843-2999. Hey, thanks for your business. Be sure and give us a call. How about that? All right. So we would put in 500 names and we'd hit the button. Okay. And it would dial 500 people. All right. And it would dial up to, gosh, it was like, I don't know. You could throttle it. Okay. But anyway, I'd start the month off. I'd hit the deal and call 500 people. Next thing you know, our phone started ringing. How about that? Isn't that crazy? And so anyway, I had all these phone numbers and it would tell me if the phone number is good, phone number is bad, all this kind of stuff, disconnect, all that stuff. And then after I did that, one time I hired a new assistant. Okay. And she didn't know what she was doing on CallFire. So guess what she did? She just dialed all 10,000 of them. Okay. How about that? We go in and I, at that time I had Comcast voicemail. The next day we had 400 voicemails. How about that? Then every time people call for about a week, they say, every time I call, the phone's busy. Okay. Guys, these are customers. Okay. I need to remind you, these are customers. It's okay. But if they're not customers, it's a violation of the no call list. Does that make sense? So like I said, if you take the gun and you want to shoot yourself in the foot, more power to you. I'm telling you. But the point being is that's how I built a lot of my phone numbers. Then when they call back, okay, we did, hey, thanks for calling. We're calling regarding your account. Hey, we just need a couple things real quick. We want to get a current email address and a cell phone number. That way, if we need to reach you again, we know exactly how to do it. And the reason we're calling is we'd like to do a review. Okay, it's been a while. Need to put a name and face together, kind of deal. And that's how I got my database really up and running. Matter of fact, Lucas, you ran that for me, didn't you? You got me all
caught up. Yeah, we set it up.
And we did that. How many years ago was that, you think?
Probably 2014, maybe 15.
How about that? Isn't that crazy? See, so I knew I needed to have that stuff. Okay, let's see who else did. Kristen, did we find Seth or not? Okay. No,
I didn't find Seth.
All right, next week. Okay, let me see what else. Hey, all right, George. Dude, you did a great. I saw some of your posts and stuff like that. Tell them about this text you sent me about the mortgage stuff. Okay.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, what I've been doing is testing these campaigns. Because, first of all, right now for most of us, we're in a habit of going out and prospecting, super important. But, Dave's got 4,000 contacts. He doesn't need to prospect. He needs to clean up his list and focus on what he's got in front of him. So I've been testing a lot of these campaigns, primarily the surveys. You want to review your mortgage, you want to review your insurance. And what I've been discovering is when you talk to people, all you're doing is catching them at the right time. The common comment is, I was just thinking about that. I'm glad I got your email. I had no idea. So as you start talking to these people, this last week, I was blown away. I was in Puerto Vallarta a couple of weeks ago, send out the email and get back. My secretary's got 20 appointments booked for me. Now, all this money is not going to move this week, but in these conversations, people came in and they showed me, I got 500 grand at work. I don't know if it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. I got 250,000 here. You think I'm ready to retire? I got these three accounts that I never showed you. Literally, there was $3 million that came across my desk that's in my planner now, between now and the end of the year, that's going to be moved. If you know anything about our compensation, that's in excess of $100,000 on top of four or five people that said, I'd like for you to review my mortgage. I just put one in the process last night. I got another three that are going to go in. Probably $2 million in business. I don't know, $10,000 in income. But the thing that I'm discovering is that we have left our clients alone. I don't even know why they're still here for most of us. And the exciting thing, and I'm going to give you a story that I think will help you out. Jay Abraham understood the value of having a database. All of us know the story, or maybe you don't, of Icy Hot. Icy Hot's a great product, but they couldn't market the product. So Jay Abraham said, listen, I'll market this product for you. I don't want you to pay me a dime. But what I want is I want that database that we create for you. Listen to what Jay Abraham did. Now you can walk into any Walmart, CVS, you can find Icy Hot on the shelf. So obviously what he did worked, but that database that he had, he sold it to companies that had similar clients, apparel companies, sport apparel companies, Nike, Adidas. On that list, he said he made over $10 million. Not selling anything, just matching up that group of people to a company that was looking for that group of people. So in doing this, I've got about 2,000 contacts in my database. I decided I'm going to start this process. And every week I'm adding 10 or 15, cleaning them up, getting emails connected. But I'm going to tell you this. I really believe this. There's no reason why you couldn't build a business if you do it properly, where you're doing $1 million a week in investment. I mean, I have people that I'm waking up. I got a guy that has $30,000 with me, hasn't done anything for 20 years. The first thing he said when he saw me the other day, says, man, you put on some weight. I said, hey, you met me when I was a kid. I was starving to death. I didn't have money to eat. Now I have money to eat. And the key was the call created a conversation, came in, wrote me a check for his IRA. My secretary sent me a picture. She said, I got this check in the mail. Send me another $20,000. He said, listen, I didn't know my funds had done so well. So here's another 20 grand. Put it to work for me. One phone call. And he added a $500 a month PAC. And these stories, I could go on and on and on. But what I'm telling you guys right now is if we clean up our database and if we refocus on how we're running our business, I'm just telling you, I'm looking at a condo right now in Miami Beach because I can live anywhere now. I am so unbelievably excited, Roy. And the last thing I'm going to tell you is I get on these calls on Tuesdays and all I do is I'm smart enough to know that I'm dumb. I listen to what Roy says and I immediately try to employ it. I took that app that Dave just mentioned. As soon as we're done with the call, I'm ordering it. I'm thinking, I didn't realize there was an easy way to clean up my database. So with that being said, listen, I'm just telling you guys right now, this group of people here, if your goal isn't to make $1 million a year, it should be. Because once you clean up your database, there's no doubt in my mind that $100,000 that Roy made last month, all of us could be doing it on a regular basis.
Yeah, and George, hey, by the way, Truth Finder, there's another one I use called Instant Checkmate. Okay, so you can check either one of those out. Hey, Norm Mitchell, you always got something great to say. What's going on, buddy? How's Texas?
Texas is great, man. I'm writing down Instant Checkmate. I'm like, George, whatever comes out of your mouth, brother, I'm doing it. Hey, we had a social media specialist from LinkedIn do a training at our office last week, and one of the things that we discovered that I didn't really know you could do is you can, you know, download and import all your, if you have connections on LinkedIn or you have friends on Facebook, you can capture their email and information and put it in Sales Team Pro. And I was not really aware of that. Clarissa's like, yeah, like, because she knows everything social media, but that was news to us and it was pretty exciting. So we're going back through all of our connections on LinkedIn now and Facebook and capturing the emails and putting them in there and setting them up for some campaigns and holidays and, you know, the basic stuff. So,
and you know, one of the things we ought to do, Norm and Kristen, put this on there is maybe do something with that, showing people how to do that. The other thing that you can do, by the way, and you may know this, but if you upload your database, your email addresses to Facebook, you can run ads strictly to your customers. How about that? So
you want to know that, but that sounds more exciting.
You want to crank out your I'm everywhere. Okay. In other words, they think, golly, they're big. I'm seeing their ads everywhere. No. We're just sending that ad to you, dear. How about that? And so that's just something you can even take it. Ring Central will allow you to do that when it rings. Ring Central is connected with Facebook and it will, all this kind of stuff is sitting there, Ring Central, they call your office, Ring Central is tied to Facebook, and it says, oh, that phone number, cell number is in Facebook because they have it, and we'll just run them an ad. How about that? How about that as an automatic follow-up? They'll run it for the next 3 weeks, whatever it may be. So anyway, cool stuff. Tommy Lee, close us out, buddy. Where's Tommy? Tommy, are you not going to close us? Did I lose Tommy?
Oh, I'm here, buddy. Oh, hey, man.
What's going on, buddy? You're doing your walk, the Tommy Lee walk.
Doing my walk, bro. Right, I'm just sitting here.
I want to do one thing real quick. Get with Kristen. I want you to do a training on everything online from a live customer closeout, you know, a sale, policy change. I want to put that in our library. How many of y'all think that's a good idea? I don't even know how to do all that stuff. I've been in. So anyway, so Tommy, go ahead, close us out, buddy. Got about a minute.
Just listen, it's all about the contacts, man. We have the resources. I just think, even if I look at mine, I mean, we have thousands of people, but how many of them get a call? I mean, so many people. If you just call people, I mean, there's business everywhere. I mean, there's low-hanging fruit. I mean, just like what George is saying, these people are waiting for a phone call. I have not seen somebody face to face. You could do all this stuff from Zoom. I mean, I got to call Dan today, but with the technology, with everything, if you're not doing 3, 4, 5 appointments a day, I mean, even if you have no appointments right now, you should be able to get 3 to 5 appointments today in the same day. You know, and I would just turn one other thing is aiming to focusing on the recruiting. I mean, really, people need to make money. I mean, the bottom line is every single financial plan that we do, guys, they're missing $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a month. People are not saving $1,000 a month, right? So why not just pick up the IBA too? I mean, every time we pick the IBA up, it expands our market a thousand names. You know what I mean? Like, that's my focus, is really just getting sick wide, man. Just saying, hey, what's your passive income? Do you make over $10,000 a month in passive income? Nobody does. Nobody really makes that. You know what I mean? So why not just get in the financial business with us.
And by the way, guys, $2,000 a month is not that much money. I just want you to know it's a lot of money.
No, but nobody's making that, Roy. Okay, nobody's making $10,000 a month in residuals, you know? So, I mean, Manny's going to make $20,000 this month. I mean, and, you know, he's just getting a ring this month or next month.
Oh, we lost him.
And man, Sales Team Pro, kidding. It is unbelievable. So,
hey, guys. Hey, Tommy. We're going to, hey, I want one last thing, guys, because we're over. Kristen, what's our Bree, Kristen, Lucas, somebody, I don't know who's in charge of this. Let's get the registration thing. Let's resend it to everybody to make sure I need that info because I'm starting to talk hotels. That's the big thing. And then also market for the kickoff meeting. Start doing that. And every week up until then, next week I'm going to talk about, you know, how to go into different markets, you know, how to determine what market maybe you want to go into and how I went about doing it and stuff like that. Hey, it's good to see you guys again. I'll talk to you next week and fill up the classes. Y'all have a good day. Talk to you later.